And I got to praying. I wasn't asking God to change nothing. But I got to praying. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I'm going to change your route next year. That's the way he told me. I'm going to change your route next year. And December and January come by, and I didn't get nothing. It was either sick or the church was called off or the weather was bad. And I said, Lord, is that the way you were changing my route? You put me on the shelf? Huh? Amen. Well, February opened up, and I still had some cold and sickness, but we preached several times during February, a couple trips in Kentucky and around over here and over there. But I thought long in February the 7th, I got to praying there at home one evening, and a lot of times I'll meditate and write down what the Spirit gives me. I mean, that's the way I work sometimes. And the Holy Ghost told me, says, I'm making a work for you. And says, you'll know what the work is when they call you. And says, I want you to go because it's a work for you, in other words. Several things the Spirit told me, and I can't never remember all of it. But in other words, that's the word. He had a work fixed for us. Well, that was on the 7th. I woke up on the 14th of February and rolled over, and before my feet hit the floor, the Holy Ghost was there and said, a holy soul will call you today, and he'll tell you what I want you to do. I was sitting at the breakfast table, and the phone rung. Brother Harold Hales on the phone. He said, Brother Bill, and you know Harold talks kind of slow and meek and humble. He said, we've been praying down there at church, and said, that he don't get to go a lot, and they just call church off, and these people kind of got defeated. I mean, if you go to church, ain't nobody going to be there. Amen. And he said, we had three or four men was praying about, and says, your name kept coming up. Now, that is not, Lord help me, that's not a church I would have chosen, Carter. I wouldn't have picked that one. I'd rather have one full of people speaking in tongues and running the aisles and believe like I do. Amen. But that's where the Lord put me. And I'll tell you what, his blessing, we had a real good service last night. Kenny and Gladys Smith come over and helped us a little bit. Didn't have many. I think we only had 11. We had three or four out sick, and Brother Hale wasn't able there. He was sick last night. But God has been good to us, and he is blessing us. And I told Sister Glenn like this. I said, well, we're not getting to go into Kentucky and having them bring us cookies and invite us to go home with them and stay all night and all that. But I said, we're right where God put us, and that means an awful lot. Amen. When you know that the Holy Ghost has got his hand on you and he set you somewhere, that means all, church. Amen. That's more important than any of it. I'm going to try to preach tonight. My preaching ain't big time. I was somewhere a while back. And Brother Bobby, after a preach, they got up and they said, we'll make Brother Bill up an offering. I said, oh, you don't have to do that. I just come down and dropped in to be with you. He said, we do it for the big preachers, we might as well do it for cornbread. I said, well, thank you. Amen. In the book of Psalms, if you want to read with me, Psalms 1, we'll read this and try to get into some thought, maybe if you'll pray for us. Psalms number 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way with sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Then it says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You may be seated if you want. I probably will read some more directly, but it will come with the preaching, I guess. I thought about this first verse here about blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And I thought a little idea tonight about where are you standing? Where are you standing? Amen. It's going to mean an awful lot when the judgment of Almighty comes. and you and me are called up, and the books are being opened, and we have to give account to our life for whatever is written in that book about us. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I want to be standing upon the promises of the living God. I want to be built upon that sure foundation, Jesus Christ Himself. I want to know, amen, that all's well. And I'd like for Him to say, you've been faithful over a few things. Just come on in. I'll make you ruler over many. I don't care so much about ruling. I want to get in. I want to be standing right. Amen. I want to be able, amen, to say, I'm one of them. You know, the Bible says that we become a spectacle to man and to angels. The World Council says the offscouring of the world. We're looked down on as being kind of strange and kind of funny. But oh my, the Bible says you are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Let me just be peculiar, amen. As long as I can stand with Jesus Christ, let them call me what they will. I had some folks up there in another place. Amen. Come and said, you don't have to preach all them old traditions. But Lord, I found over in Thessalonians, forsake not the tradition of the elders. I found over there where I'm supposed to stay with what I start with, old time holiness, amen. And if I move up in anything, let me just move up a little closer to the rock. Let me stand on Jesus a little more firmer. Let me be more convinced in this, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad that we are serving a God that can notify us if there's any change of coming. Well, I'm glad we're serving someone that can tell us, amen, I've been warned before of trouble coming. And you say, well, if He can warn you, why couldn't He avert it? He's going to have a tried people. We're going to be tried as pure gold in the fire. But oh my, if we stand firm in the fire and in the time of trial, He'll bring us out with glory and praise and honor to His name. Hallelujah. This ain't about me, it's about Him. And sometimes, me being the little vessel that I am, clay, amen, as such as I am, sometimes He let me get worked over just a little bit to see if I'm going to remain true to Him. And oh, I want to. I want to, Brother Bobby. Bear with me. Pray for me. Amen. I get a little short-winded sometimes. We're going to go over here in Ephesians and read a little more directly. But oh my, where are we standing? Where are we standing? I believe I'm rooted and grounded on that rock, the true foundation, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone of the apostles and prophets. Amen. I believe I'm one of them liveliest stones in the building. Though I might be 75 years old, I still got some life in me, praise God. This thing of said, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the grave, that if He dwell in you, also quicken your mortal bodies, didn't it? That's this old body here. That glorified body's going to be quick. Amen. I thought that woman at the well there, talking to Jesus Christ, she was telling me how she worshiped. We worship out in the mountains. You say you got to go to Jerusalem. Jesus said the time is coming and now is when neither at Jerusalem or in the mountains will you worship, but God is a Spirit, and seek us such to worship Him as we'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe in that Spirit, don't you? Amen. And I believe if we're built right in the Spirit of God, and if we've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and come through the sanctification process, and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we got everything in the world we need. That don't mean that we can forsake the Word. I remember back years ago when I was living over in Springboro, Bobby. It's been a while. You was a little guy then. Amen. But I remember a young man that used to follow us around a whole lot. He wasn't following me for me, he was following me for my young daughters. Amen. But I thought like this, I said, I called his name Jimmy. I said, you need to read your Bible. Oh, I don't need my Bible. Said, I can abide by Grandma's prophecy and Uncle's preaching. But oh my, let me tell you something. Grandma died after a few years. And Uncle kind of more or less got in a position that he cheated the old boy out about everything he had. So he lost out there too. Listen to me. We need to be building in that right there. The Word of God. And if we're standing on this when Judgment Day comes, we'll be secure. Why you say this word, Bill? It's just a book. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. The Bible says that they comprehended it not because their deeds were evil, and they loved darkness better than they did light. I'm glad that they some loves it. I got a love for that. I admit there is times when I pick the book up and sit down maybe and read a chapter and can't hardly tell you what they have read because this mind kind of gets tired and weary and the devil will in a fury sometimes. But I admit, Lord, I might go back and pray, say, Lord, I didn't get a thing out of that, and my soul needs nourishing. Amen. And begin to read again. And the Spirit of the Lord kind of begin to move up on you. And oh my, you enter into the glory world. You begin to get ideas from these scriptures that'll make you strong in the power of God and in His might. Where are we standing? I read in the Bible about a man who was a builder. And the Bible says that he dug down. You know, that ain't easy work. With my condition, the way my old body works these days, I have a kind of a hard time working a dirt shovel because you got to stay on one foot and push the shovel the other. And my balance ain't all that good anyway. And amen. But I tell you what, digging might be a little chore. It might take them a little bit longer to get there, but it pays to get to where the rock is. You might have to lay off a few things. You might have to miss a meal. You might have to pray a little extra. But oh my, it's worth the dig when you get there because you can build on that rock and the storm won't hurt you. Amen. Hallelujah. I read about a foolish man also in that same scripture. He just built on the sand. I knew a builder. And I won't tell you his name or what state he's in, nothing. But, you know, builders, they make a living like anybody else. They have to have a place to build. And they got to put up some reasonable good houses to sell. And this guy saw a property there, Bobby, and he thought, boy, that looks good. So he bought it. Great big good lot. Got it cheap. But he got out there, and he's going to do it right. He's going to put a foundation under it. But he dug down and didn't find nothing but pea gravel. He dug down some more, and there still wasn't nothing but gravel. He went ahead and built. I mean, he built a literal mansion. You walk into that house, it was immaculate. You could look down this way, all the hardwood floors. Look up this way, the staircase, beautiful. Over here, the kitchen, everything great in it. But Lord, he built it on the sand. Oh my, I don't care how good we build spiritually, how good any good deeds we do, what we do for the Lord or what we give out of our pocketbook, and I believe in giving, amen. But I tell you what, unless we build on the true foundation, unless Jesus Christ is the basis, we'll fail in the end. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, where are you building? Where are you building? Amen. I got some more scripture I might read you. Hey, if you bear with me, praise the Lord. It's in Ephesians 6 chapter, beginning at verse 10, says, finally, my brethren. Now, the brother here is getting down toward the end of this scripture. And finally, my brethren, you think he's going to seal off, but he tells them a whole bunch of good stuff after that. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now listen, this is about armor. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? To stand. God has got provision made that when the giants of sin arise, like old Goliath did David, you can stand because you're not armored in Saul's armor, not the armor of the world, but you got the armor of God. Amen. That will stand the test. That you might be able to stand. Let me read it. I probably preached funnier than anybody you ever saw. Might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You mean, Brother Bill, if I go all the way and get saved and sanctified and read my Bible and fast and pray, that the devil's still going to out there howling and a-wailing after me? He indeed will. He'll try you if you're strong. He'll try you if you're not strong. And if you're not strong, he'll get you. Amen. That's why God made the provision. That's why He supplies us with the armor. Let's see what this armor is. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, That's it. Wicked angels. Against powers. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wicked in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. You got to first withstand. And then stand. Amen. When he comes, amen, trying to blow your mind away and cause you, amen, some thoughts, amen, or some troubles that you don't need, you got to first withstand it. But then, amen, you know, I don't talk to the devil very much. A lot of people say, I say, get on out of here, devil, this, that, and that. I don't talk to him much. I just start trying to get my mind on holy things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pleasant, whatsoever things of a good report, if it be any virtue, if it be any bowels of mercy, think on these things. There's a good book there to read from, and there's good stuff to think on. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Might have to lay this down just a moment, get a drink here. I carried my bottle of water. Sister Glenn went and got it. I get terrible dry, and I apologize for that. I don't really like to have to interrupt the preaching to get a drink, but pray for me. Praise the Lord. Stand, verse 14. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Now, somebody once told me, Brother Bob, that this whole armor is for the front. Huh? And truly, in most cases, it is for the front. But there is one thing that goes all around, and it is the most essential piece of this whole armor. It's truth. It's the Word of God that's truth. It's Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. When he stood before Pilate, Pilate said, what is truth? Amen. He had truth right there before him. Amen. That truth. All the way around. Right around. You know, that's a vital area right there. I mean, if you get into it and somebody about to beat you to death and you're a dirty fighter, and I don't believe in fighting, and I ain't recommend fighting. But if you whop him a good hard lick in the kidneys there, that's vital. You can about rupture your kidney and send him to the doctor or the grave. Amen. So, we need the armor of truth there. All the way around. Amen. Oh, Lord, what better truth is it than Jesus? What better way is it to get a hold of the thing about Jesus than out of the Word of God? You might say, Brother Bill, are you preaching on the Bible? I'm preaching on standing on the Word. Where are you standing? I'm standing on this tonight. Standing on the Word. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me back up here. Stand, therefore, having the loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's something right over here. You got the truth around here, and you got all the righteousness over the heart area. And when you get the helmet of salvation up here, that'll take care of the brain. Amen. And above all, talk the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It takes it all. Amen. I don't believe you can say, well, I don't think I want to carry this old breastplate around all the time. Amen. That heart is a vital part. The devil will attack you up here. I mean, he don't usually put it in the heart right away. He starts up here in the mind. Oh, my. I don't want my mind to be a playpen for the devil. There's times when I had to fight tooth and nail in a way of speaking, because he will come by and he will try to persuade you out of the grace of God and the simplicity in Jesus. Just like he did Eve. It was simple enough. Don't touch the tree. All the rest of the trees in the garden you can have, but just don't touch that one. Well, that one is the one the devil got her to look at. They had one commandment to live up to. We got dozens. Huh? But we got the better plan, because where Adam fell at the tree, our Savior did not. Where Adam fell at the tree, our Savior was stretched out for the sins of mankind and shed his blood that you and me might be partakers of this divine nature. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't you glad tonight that you're standing with the one, amen, that's going to be standing when this world is reeling and rocking like a drunk man, and when the sky itself is literally shaking under the power of the coming of the living God, amen. Ain't you glad that you're the one of them that's going to be called up to be together with the Lord in the air? You might say, Brother Bill, how's it coming? Well, all I know is what I read in there. At the trump of God, shout of the archangel, said, the dead in Christ be raised first. And they that alive and remain shall be caught up together, ever to be with the Lord in the air. That sounds good enough for me. Somebody said, well, Brother Bill, how are we going to get that new body? If the Lord comes back and He brings the Spirit of the just with you, how are we going to get that new body? Don't worry about it. It'll be an instant, a twinkling of an eye quick, and you don't have no time to worry about that. You'll get a new body. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. This isn't wore out. I mean, I told them, I said, if I was an automobile, I'd quit running years ago. They done got my gas tank, took my stomach, my spleen, amen, got a part of the colon over here, and part down my neck up here of the spine, the disc and all is up there, amen. And I'm missing so many parts, Brother Bobby, amen, if I was a car, I'd quit. But you see, I ain't a car. I'm an old preacher, got the hand of God on me. He says, I ain't done with you yet. And until He gets done with me, I'll be preaching somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's a shame that while we're living in the last days, and I believe we are, Bob. I believe we're living in the last days. And it's a shame that the Lord can look down and see some standing idle in the marketplaces. Amen. And why stand ye here idle all the day? Why no man's heart is, Lord? Well, if we're saved, we are part of the kingdom of God. And you and me need to labor for that kingdom. Support the way for Jesus Christ. And tell the lost world, hey, He's coming. Some of my children, Keith is a mighty good boy. I mean, he prays over his food. And he sees that Dad and Mom gets a little offering from his side of the house once in a while. They give to the church, him and Cheryl. He don't go to church, but he makes sure she's got money to give an offering. Amen. And if he got a problem, he'll pick the phone up and say, Dad, will you pray about something for us and see if the Lord gives you anything? And he usually waits till I've prayed before he tells me what I'm praying about. I mean, that way you know if the Holy Ghost has told you. I mean, if I go to prayer for you, know all about your problem, amen, I might get something, and I might not. I might get my own little thoughts. But if God don't know, the Holy Ghost does know, amen, and I get an answer, it's going to be from God. That's the only way I believe it. Hallelujah. But how the Lord went, gave a parable of the man that went out and found them standing idle in the marketplace. Now, here's what I like. He went out the first hours. He sent them into the marketplace. Sent them into the vineyard to work. He went out again in the 10th, 11th hour and right on up to the evening hours. And he found them standing idle. And he'd asked them, why are you standing idle all day in the marketplace? No man is heartless, Lord. Well, go into the vineyard. I'll give you what's right. But when they come down to the inn, them had labored the longest, so maybe they had a little seniority. And we might think that way as far as carnal mind and natural. It would be pretty obvious to think that way. But oh my God, looks on the spiritual view of things. And if you just get in yesterday, and if you make it to heaven, you'll walk on the same streets of gold that I will after 42 years of this. I mean, God will give it to us. And Lord, I'm glad it's that way. I'm so glad it's that way. Amen. Putting on the armor, having shod with the preparation of the gospel. You know, one of the blessings in there that Moses gave unto the tribes of Israel was to Asher. And Lord, when I was sick, I stood on that. The Spirit gave me that scripture. It said, you dip your feet in oil. And said, of brass and of iron shall thy shoes be. And as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Lord gave me that when I was sick. Amen. And I've stood on that. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. What about? Give me some iron shoes. So the old devil come by you. You got to do this. Kick him in the chops. Amen. Just let him have it. Huh? Amen. It tells us we'll have that serpent under our feet. That would be pretty nice. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I come from rattlesnake and copperhead country. And you don't stomp a rattlesnake unless you beat him senseless before. Because that fella is so fast, you might stomp here and he might fire back and get you before you get moved. They're fast. But oh my, that old serpent, he's fast too, but he can't beat them iron shoes. Hallelujah. He can't beat them shoes of brass. We can nail him every time if we're shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? Boy, I enjoy this. I enjoy my salvation. I told them folks down there at that church, all we've got is men as old as me. Old Charlie's 87. Some of them old brothers is my age or older. I said, I want some young people in here. I want some babies, amen. Us old timers are going to pass away and the seats will be empty. Let's try to get some young people in. Amen. They're a little quiet and I love them dearly. They're dear. They're sweet people. There's good, sweet people. But oh my, I told them the other night, I said, boys, I come from a lively church. I said, I'm used to noise. Did I worship with Brian Smith? If you worship with Brian Smith, you're going to hear some noise. Amen. One sister back there told Sister Glenn, said, I come out of a noisy church, said, I like it. Well, I like it too if it's of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what the devil has sent them by a few times. I was having church in Franklin, Ohio one time, and five or six big old roughneck boys come in, and they sit down in the back, and they make cat calls, and they holler, hallelujah, disrupting service. People got to looking at me. You're the pastor, give them do something. Amen. I sat there a little while, and nobody was singing or nothing. I was wishing they would just start a song and just break it up. Finally, they didn't. I got to preaching, got anointed, got down there, and that's back when I was younger and could jump a little higher. I got to jumping out of the power of God. Them old boys got up and made a beeline for the door. I said, hang on, we're going to make an altar here. Huh? Amen. The devil can't stand this. He can't stand it. Amen. I've told you this before. It won't hurt you if I tell you again, will it? I wanted some baloney one evening there in Richmond, Indiana, and we lived on South 8th Street then. A few blocks down the street, there was a pantry store, you know. I go down there and get baloney sliced. You hardly get any baloney sliced anymore. But anyhow, I put my hat on, went down there, and it was just twilight, getting dark. Amen. And here come my little sack of baloney, and about five or six boys strung out across the street there, almost dark. One boy had old, greasy, long hair way down here, big, thick-looking glasses and an army jacket. Here them others all lined the third step behind him. He looked me right in the face and said, we're going to... And he started making homosexual talk. I never had time to think about it. I just did what the Spirit hit me to do. I stepped down in the curb with him. I said, son, what you need is Jesus Christ. And he backed off. Hallelujah. He turned around and he said, they put me up to that and across the street they went. I want to tell you something. God is able to put the devil on the move for you. Oh, I preached last night when I'm overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Oh, let me build on that rock. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You people just about preach a fella to death clapping your hand and hollering that way. Hallelujah. I like it. Brother Bobby can tell you it helps. Amen. John saw standing up on a sea of glass and fire. I think it's about the 15th chapter of Revelation, maybe. And he saw the saints of God. Oh, standing before the throne. I wonder if he saw a Bobby. I wonder if he saw a brother here. Or I wonder if he saw maybe these sisters. I wonder if he saw an old bald-headed preacher. Amen. I believe he must have. I believe he must have. A number no man can number. And the elder asked him, said, who are these? He says, sir, thou knowest. He said, these are they that's come up through great tribulation and made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And what are they doing? They're standing here before the throne of God. What a wonderful, marvelous thought. One day they will get to see he that is going to take the pure in heart to see, and that's God himself. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand, church. Brother Bobby, you want to make this altar? We're going to open the altar. If you want to sing, that's fine. But John saw that great number, that glorious number. And like I said, an opportunity for every one of us to be in it. And if somebody's lost and not in it, the Bible says, whosoever will, let them come. and take of the waters of life freely. Them nail-scarred hands. I don't believe I'll have these big scars where they cut me this way and that. I don't believe I'll have these scars where they went into my neck, took disc out. I don't believe that I'll have the scars where they went in my throat and took out the tonsils. Amen. But I believe that when I stand there before my Lord and my King, that He'll have in His hand the reminder of what He did for you and me, that we could be partakers in this. Them scars will be there. The evidence, hey, I loved you this much. Sing, the altar's open. Come and pray.
Let's find us a place come to pray. It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. Got a problem. Now I don't need to worry you, but here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. Me again, Lord. Troubles come and I can't find an answer. Lonely nights I spend in agony. Lord, you're the only friend that I can depend on. So here I am, Lord, back up on my knees. Well, it's me again, Lord.
I got a prayer that needs an answer.
Well, it's me again,
Lord. Got a problem and I can't solve. I don't mean to worry you. Here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
No, you're mighty busy in your heaven, watching the world and hanging stars to shine. But you promised if I'd ask, I'd receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. Well, it's me again, Lord. Well, it's me again, Lord.
I got a problem I can't solve.
Now,
I don't mean to worry you. Here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
Well, it's me again, Lord.
Lord, I got a prayer.
Well, it's me again, Lord.
I've got a problem I can't solve. I don't mean to worry you. Here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
In your heaven, watching the world and hanging stars to shine. Lord, you promised if I'd ask, I'd receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. Well, it's me again, Lord. Got a prayer that
needs an answer.
Well, it's me again, Lord. I've got a problem and I can't solve. I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
Praise the me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer.
Yeah, it's me again, Lord. I've got a problem that I can't solve. I don't mean to worry you. Here I am facing something new. I need help that only comes from you.
All right, everybody would. Let's come up here and let's anoint Sister Sharon. Pray over her body. Got a lot of sickness in our church. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to come by, Lord, and touch Sister Sharon. Touch her body, Lord. Strengthen her, Lord God. Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to move in her body and in her affliction, Lord, whatever it may be. God, we ask you, Lord, God, to take the fever, Lord. God, help her to rest, God, Lord Jesus. Bring her to the house of the Lord. God, with praise and thanksgiving, God, we'll give you the honor and the glory. Let it be so, let it be done, Lord. All right, Brother Carter, standing up. Brother F.G. Wages, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, God, Brother Wages, Lord, God, we ask you, Lord, to touch his body, Lord, to strengthen him, Lord, God, help him to rest tonight. God, bring him to the house of the Lord Jesus with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we know, God, Lord, that you're watching over him, Lord, we ask you to help him, Lord, continue the work, Lord, in his life, that he may be a witness, Lord, to his children. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone else.